Okay, we are starting at Nun Bet Amud Bet at the bottom. We're continuing a little bit today with this Shidra and Gulgolet, but a little bit of a different direction. Remember yesterday the whole question was, do you need either the Shidra or the Gulgolet to say something's Tameh, or do you need both the Shidra and the Gulgolet to make it Tameh? Okay, do you need both the spine and the skull, and then that will make, that will be, the Nazir will be Megaleach and that kind of Tumah. Okay, so now we're eight lines from the bottom. By Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama asks the question. Rova atzamot mina shidra v'gulgolet mai. Now remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about you need a shidra and a gulgolet were listed. And it also listed, okay, if you don't remember, you could look in the middle of today's daf, in the middle of today's sheet that I prepared. I put the Mishnah because we're going to need it later. Okay, let's just read the Mishnah from the beginning. We'll remind ourselves. Al elu tumot hanazir megalech. Al hamet val kazayit min hamet val kazayit netzel val mele tarvad rakav val ashidra val gugolet val ever min hamet val ever min achay sheyesh ala basar karaoi val chatzi kav atzamot val chatzi log dam val magaam val masam val ahilan. Okay. So what it means is, right, it's all these things in Nazir. If he becomes tameh to a mate, he has to shave and do the whole process of the korbanot after his nizirut. And then it says, in what cases? In all these cases that we listed here, which is more chamor from general dinei tumah, it's not necessarily anything that you become tameh meit to, but tameh meit on a bit of a higher level.
Exactly what I was going to ask. Is it a different standard?
Right. So it's a bit of a different standard. We're going to see the next Mishnah is all the things that are metameh, then the nazir is not megaleach. Okay, if you want a sneak preview, the beginning of the Mishnah is quoted at the very bottom of the page, on the bottom left side. In that corner there, aval haschachot va'fraot va'ubet ha'pras ve'eretamim va'golel va'hadofek va'rivi'itam va'ol v'rov atzamot v'kelim nogim b'meid. Okay, all the different things. Al elu ein hanazir megalech. Okay, we'll get there. That's the mission in tomorrow's daf. Okay, those are things that are metame, but the nazir is not megalech on them. Or maybe we'll see. I don't know if they're all metame or not, but some of them are definitely metame, like rivi'itam and rivi'it kavatzamot. Where generally you would become tameh to them, but the nazir doesn't have to, it doesn't cancel out his first days, he doesn't have to, right? He has to be mitaher from the tumah, but he doesn't have, all those things don't kick in of hayimim marishonim yiplu, and he has to start his count from the beginning, and the issue of the shaving, and then also bringing all the korbanot he has to bring. So now, if you see, Rami Bar Chama wants to know, according to this, okay, this is the key thing, the line that's important to us is the chatzi kav atzamot, okay? And the chatzi kav atzamot, which is a certain measurement of atzamot, half a kav, he has to shave. But on a reva kav, okay, reva kav atzamot, which is in the next Mishnah, you would become tameh, but you wouldn't have to shave. But now they say, what if you combine the two? What if you had a rova kavat samoa, but of the shidra and the shidra and the gulgolet? The assumption is right now, of Rami Raham's question, is that clearly the shidra and the gulgolet are in a different category. And therefore, right, they're a little bit more chamor. So the thought process was, right, why are they more chamor? Because they're like the, right, the spine of a paraya, the same reason we say it as a phrase, the spine of the person, right? It's the ikar and the skull also. So the assumption is that maybe these are more chamor, and even a rova atzamot of those would be mitame. So now they say, "My ki katane chatzi kav atzamot hechadi ika mishare varav avamin shidra v'gugolet echamire apilu rova atzamot." Now, do we say, this is the first side of the question, do we say when it says chatzi kav atzamot, they're talking about from the other evarim, but from the shidra and the gogolet that are more chamor, even rav atzamot? O dil maloshna, or do we say no, we don't distinguish? So Amarava, Rava said, let's learn it from here. Let's learn it from our Mishnah itself. Tashma, what does it say in our Mishnah? Hashidra v'ha gogolet. V'isal kadatach rav atzamot ate min shidra v'gogolet chamir, litne al rav atzamot haba min hashidra. He says it very clearly. If it would have wanted to say that in the Mishnah, it would have specified it. Since the measurement for atzamot was the chatzi kav, if this had a different measurement, it would have specified it. So that's what he's inferring from the word shidra v'gulgolet, and the fact that it doesn't say rova atzamot. What can we assume? That it means Chatzi kav atzamot, right? Okay. But now they're going to say, wait a minute. That's what Rava is medayek from this Mishnah, right? And therefore, we're going to be medayek that we can't necessarily learn it from our Mishnah, right? That you would be medayek in this case that that it's chatzi kav. It's the same measurement. But they say, wait. Rava, didn't Rava infer something else from the words Hashadrava al Gugola and the fact they didn't give a measurement by it? Okay, now this first he's saying, okay, and you can see this, I charted out. The first diuk of Rava is that since it doesn't say Rova Kav, it must be Tchatzi Kav, just like all the rest. But then they say, but Rava himself says, Vaha Rava Huda Amar, Lo Nitzrcha Ela Lishidrava Gugola Che'em Behem Rova Atzamot. Rava infers in a different place, he says after the opposite. He says, why does it say Shidrava Gugolet as opposed to Chatzi Kav, right? It, again, Shidrava Gugolet are just bones, the assumption is. So if they're bones, then shouldn't they just be the general Chatzi Kav? You don't even need to mention them separately. So Rava says, why do we mention them separately? Specifically to tell you that if you ended up with Shidra or Gugolet, or again, maybe both together, that were less than a Chatzi Kav. Let's say you have a baby. Okay, who's really little, and the Shidra and the Gugola don't make up a Chatzi Kav. So if you end up with less than a Chatzi Kav, then even a Shidra and Gugola is Matame, which would basically give you the opposite answer that we just had. Then you would see that the Shidra and Gugola don't even need, it's not even an answer to his question, right? He gave two sides, this is the third side, which is saying you don't even need the Chatzi Kav. Okay, you don't even need the Rova Kav. As long as you have a whole shidra and gugolet, or depending on how you understand, or a whole shidra and gugolet that are less than a Reva Kav, he would be mitame. So then the answer, so how could Rava be medayik one thing and medayik something totally opposite? How could that be? So the answer is, batar deshama mirabi Akiva. Okay, this is a very unclear line what this means. What it basically means in the flow of the Gemara is that he clearly changed his mind in one of the places. Okay, he changed his mind after he heard from Rabbi Akiva. Now, what did he hear from Rabbi Akiva? Okay, so it seems that he was chozer bo from what he said here, and that what he eventually did is the second one we brought in. In other words, from Rabbi Akiva. Now, what's Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, if you remember, he was metame in all these different cases. Okay, and Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah in Ohalot. Remember we brought in this whole Mishnah in Ohalot that we compared, right? The main difference between the Mishnah in Ohalot and here is that here the Shirim are a little higher because here it's the Nazir Megalech. And in Ohalot, it's just discussing general Tumah. But there, Rabbi Akiva said, again, there's different interpretations. I'm going to go with one of them. Rabbi Akiva said, there it says, Hashidrava Gugolet Mishnei Metim. Virova Atzamot Mishnei Metim. Okay, it lists separately the Shidrava Gugolet from two Meitim and Arova Atzamot Mishnei Meitim. Okay, and there Rabbi Akiva's Metame. And then they say, in other words, again, the question they're asked on that Mishnah is why you need to mention the Shidrava Gugolet and the Rova Kav. And the answer must be that once he saw that, he realized that again, there it has the same diuk. It must be that it's coming to teach you that it's even if a Shidra Gugolet is less than Reva Kav, in which in our case it would be less than even Chatzi Kav, right? In other words, no matter what, any size Shidra Gugolet would be Metame. Okay, moving on to the next topic for today. Now we're going to have a second attempt. Okay, so wait. At this point, right, so now they're saying that from this, you can't really learn to the question of Rami Bar Chama according to this. Because you don't really know what to be medayek from the Mishnah. In other words, you see that the Mishnah can go in both directions. Whether Rava changed his mind or not is one thing, but it could go in either direction, and it doesn't necessarily prove anything about the Shidrava Gugolet. So now, they say, let's learn from somewhere else. Tashma. Shammai Omer, now we're going back, we're going to have the exact parallel sugi we had yesterday. Okay, we took this opinion of Shammai. Remember, there was Beit Hillel, there was Beit Shammai, and then there was this Chumrah of Shammai. So the question is he machmir way more than everybody else, or is he machmir just a little bit and not all the way, right? And then can we infer from there what everybody else says? And if you recall there, what did we say? We said, you know, either maybe he's way machmir, and then he would say something to the extreme, and everyone else would say something else, or we say, no, he's only machmir a little bit, in which case we can infer what the other opinion would say. And in the end, we say that, you know, you obviously can't, we don't know which way to go, right? Because we can't figure out whether, how much more he's machmir than everybody else. Tashma, Shammai omer etzem echad min ha-shidra o min ha-gulgolet, right? Even one bone from the shidra or the gulgolet, right? Which would then infer that everyone else would think that you need the regular measurement, right, in order to be metame. So then they say, wait, one second. I always get confused with this because we refer everything in its opposite. One second. Ah, right. The first way we read it is, he says etzem echad, right? Etzem echad means, shammai just means any bone, right? One bone, it could be really little, anything. The assumption there is that everyone who disagrees with him says, well, you don't need one bone, but you need, right? You need a rov akav, right? You need a better measurement, okay? So then the Gemara says, no, because you could say, shane shamai de machmir tve, right? That maybe he's very machmir, and that they say, right, he says etzem echad, and they say not rov akav, but they say, right, he's machmir even more, and they say chatzita. Okay, in other words, the working assumption of the first assumption of the Gemara is a very simple one, and it goes in general, which is when you have a machloket, the assumption is they're only arguing about one thing and not about two things, that they're not extreme opinions, but they're kind of close, just he says this and he says that. So if he's going to be machmir and say etzem echad, they're going to be machmir and say, well, it's not chatzi kav like everybody else thinks, and, you know, like in every other regular bone. It's got a unique halacha. It's just not so unique. It's etzem echad. It would be rov akav. And that would be Rabbi Racham's answer. But then the Gemara says, no, no, no. Shammai is really machmir, meaning it's a double jump. You have to, right? Meaning that they think it's only chatzi kav, right? And that he thinks it's etzem echad. Okay? That they're so far apart. That's the Gemara's rejection of the first attempt. So now, when the Gemara rejects the first attempt and says, well, originally when it rejected it, what do we assume? It's saying, well, we don't know, right? Maybe Shammai's really machmir. Now, there's two ways to go. We could go either say it's rov akav, or we could say it's chatzi kav, because Shammai's machmir tvei, so we can assume he must be really machmir, and therefore the other direction. So now the Gemara is going to say, well, if you say that he's machmir tvei, well, then it should be very clear cut then. It must be for sure that they say chatzi kav, and not just two possibilities. So they say, lifshot mina, this is exactly what we did yesterday. Lifshot mina, tama de Shammai de machmir, hala rabbanan adika chatzi kav atzamo. Okay, so then they say, well, if you say he's machmir tvei, well, then we can be definitive about it. They must say chatzikav. It's not that we don't know either which way. So then they say, no, we still don't really know that, because dilma akhan lo pligi rabbanan alei deshamai ele be'etzem echad. Afa barova atzamot afila rabbanan modu. In other words, we don't really know how much more Shammai's machmir. And it could be the chachamim agree with him that you at least need rov akav. Okay, so in the end, they say, we don't really know. He clearly is more machmir. The question is, how much more machmir is he? And therefore, we can't conclude whether it's chatzi kav or rov kav. Okay. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. And now we're moving on to a different machloket relating to shirim that we've seen about this. Chatzi kav atzamot and the reva kav and rov atzamot, revi dam and chatzi lo dam. Okay, so again, to refresh your memory. In the Mishnah, the Nazir is Megaleach on a chatzi kav of atzamot and a chatzi log dam. Okay? Now, in the next Mishnah, or in general, ohalot tuma cases, we're going to have a revit of dam, a revit log dam, and a rova kav atzamot. So it's exactly half, right? Both have a quarter for regular tuma, and for the Nazir, it has to be half. Okay, so now we're going to talk about some different shirim, and we're going to see that there was a change over time. Okay, there's what the Zekenim Rishonim thought, and then there's the Beit Din Shel Achareihem, and what they paskin. And then we're going to have a question on the Beit Din Shel Achareihem, why they paskin that way, and maybe there's a problem with it. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Zekenim Rishonim. Okay, now in the time of Zekenim Rishonim, you can see, according to this chart here, okay, there's Zekenim Rishonim and Beit Din Shel Achareihem. There's a machloket in this Zekenim Rishonim, and then the Beit Din Shel Achareihem has just one opinion. The assumption of the Gemara is going to be that they must have made a compromise between the opinions. Okay, and that's what they're going to ask about. So Zakenim Arishonim, Miktzatan Yomrim, so here's the first opinion. Chatzi kavatzamot, vechatzi logdam, lakol. Everybody, it's a problem for everybody, for this chatzi kavatzamot and chatzi logdam. Rova atzamot, revi'idam, lo lakol. Okay, when it comes to the rova atzamot and revi'idam, it doesn't mess everybody up, right? Who do we know it doesn't mess up? The Nazir. Okay? And they're talking about regular tumah and the nazir. And maybe we'll see some other situation in a minute. Umiktzatana yomrim af rova atzamot revi dam lakol. So now we see that there was an early opinion of this Kenim Rishonim who thought that even a rova kav and rova atzamot would be mess up the nazir also. Okay? So now they say, but beitin shalachareihem amru chatzi kav atzamot v'chatzi logdam lakol. Everybody gets messed up if there's half a kav of atzamot or half a log of dam. Clearly that messes everybody up. Rova atzamot urubi dam l'truma v'kodshim. Okay, that messes you up if you're truma or if you're a korban, okay? Or if you want to eat a korban or want to eat the kodshim, yeah, the truma. Okay, it messes up, it's truma made for those purposes. Avalo l'nazir v'osa pesach. But it doesn't mess up the nazir, okay? That's what we know. That matches our Mishnah, right? It doesn't mess up the revakav and the revi log. Doesn't mess up the nazir. And also they add another person. Who's the other person? An osa pesach. What's the issue with the osa pesach, right? If you're tamei lamei, you can't do the korma pesach. But why didn't they want to be machmir on him? Because they didn't want him to mess up on a mitzvah aseh that has kari. So when they came up with this, they said, well, if we're going to have two different shirim, with the Nazir, why are we Mekel? Because we don't want him to bring Korbanot necessarily. You can't bring Korbanot. Clearly, there was a bit of a suffix about the difference between the half kav and the quarter, right? And the half log and the quarter. So they weren't sure. So in general, they could be Machmir. But when it comes to two situations, number one with Pesach, where someone's going to be over on Karet by not doing the Korban Pesach. Now, it's true he has a second chance, but nobody likes to play with that Karet issue. Right, just like a brit milah, even though you could do it the next day, still nobody likes to not do it that first day. And remember, we always compared those two because those are the two only mitzvot aseh that you get karet for if you don't do them. Okay, there's the only two mitzvot aseh that if you don't do a mitzvot aseh, you get chiyuv karet. And the nazir, if he's tamei lameid, right, and migaleh alehem, right. Remember, now we've discovered that there's two maslulim for the nazir. One is he becomes tamei lamei just for the revakav, and he has to wait for 7 days and sprinkle and all that. And then he continues his nazirut like it was before. But if he goes the other maslul, what does he have to do? Remember, he has to start counting again from the beginning, which that doesn't bother us so much. Like, okay, he could be machmir and start from the beginning, but what's the other problem? He has to shave, and then, but with the shaving, he has to do all three korbanot. Now, you can't bring a korban out of safek. So therefore, we don't want him to have to put himself in a situation where he's going to have to bring a korban misafik. So therefore, in this in-between, we're going to be machmir on him. Okay? So that's what the Beit Din Shelacharehem did. So now the Gemara has a big question on this, and they say, wait a minute. Michti ein hachra'a shlishit machrat. When you can't make a decision based on a compromise. In other words, how could you paskin this halachic thing based on a compromise? And it's clearly the Beit Din Shelacharehem, right? There was this machloket, whether chatzi kav, right? Whether the rova atzamot and revi dam is lakol, or rova atzamot and revi dam is lo lakol. And then, right, you had this machloket about it. So what'd they say? Well, let's say it's, right, they said lakol, they said it's lo lakol. Let's do it halfway. Let's say it's for Truman Kodshin, and it's not for Nazir and Osa Pesach. So if you can't make a halachic decision based on that has lots of ramifications, so what do they say? They answer, no. Amar Rav Yaakov Bar'idi mipi Shmua Amru, mipi Chagai Zachariah Umalachi. Okay? It's what do they say? We had a Masoret that dated all the way back, and this wasn't based on a compromise. The Beit Din Shelacharehem didn't say, oh, we're going to compromise between the two different opinions. The Beit Din Shelacharehem said, wait. They found out that there was a Masoret that dated back to Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi. Okay, my assumption is that that's a bit of a stretch, right? That it went all the way back to then. What's unique about Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi? They were the very last Nevi'im. They were the last people that had a connection to God through Nevuah. Okay, so that's why they're clearly the people that we're going to go back to date it back to then, because they were the last, that was the end of Nevuah. So basically, they're trying to say, oh yeah, it goes back to the times when we still had God communicating with us, and we know. Okay, it's just a way of strengthening the opinion. Okay. Now we're moving on. We're moving back to the mission. Okay, today's a lot of disjointed, you know, topics going along, going through the different parts of the mission. Okay, now we're up to this chatzikav. Al elu hanazir megalech. Okay, so here's in the middle of the of our sheet. I brought the Mishnah again, like we read before. Okay, now what's important here is to see a few things. Number one, going back to the Mishnah, let's just look at the structure of the Mishnah. The structure of the Mishnah, as I put in the chart here, has two sections basically. But really, there's two sections, but the first one splits into two also, and I want to point that out before we continue. So al elu tumot nazir megalech. Right? And then it says, "Al elu hanazir megalech u'mazeh b'shlishi u'bashvi'i v'soteret hakadmim v'eino matchil linot ad sheyitar mevi et korbanotav," which really isn't a different section, but you see that in the beginning it says "al elu," and the second part it says "al elu." Now the "al elu," the second one, is really just referring to all the list from before. Okay, it's saying on this whole list that we mentioned already, the nazir has to shave, he has to start counting from the beginning, he has to bring korbanot and shave, right? All that stuff. Okay. But even within the first section, there's a bit of a split, okay? So it says, this is what the Negazir is Megaleach, on all these things, okay? Al Amed, Kezayit Shal Amed, Zayit Netzel, Malei Tavav Rakav, Shidra, Gugolet, Ever Min Amed, Ever Min Achai, Sheyesh Al Abasar Karo'oy, Chatzi Kavatzamot, Chatzi Lo Dam. Now it says the important words, Am Maga'an, Am Asa'an, Va'ahilan. What does that mean? We talked about before, there's Tuma Maga, you touch something, Masa, you carry something, right? You might not be touching it. It could be on a tray and you're carrying it. Or al ahilan, you're in an ohel with those things. And now there's one that stands out. Al etzem kiseora al magaova al masao. When it comes to etzem kiseora, if you have a bone the size of a barley, okay, very small, they were mechadesh that you're, that that's mitame b'maga umasa, but not b'ohel. So there's a bit of a distinction between maga umasa here and ohel. Okay, whereas everything on the first list is Mitame Maga Masa and Ohel. Just the Etzem Kisera is only Mitame in Mago Masa, not in Ohel. Okay, so now, what do they say here? Why does it say Al Elu and Al Elu? Okay, why does it say it twice and why does it say it even once, right? Like each time, why do you have to say Al Elu? Now you could say very simply, it's the structure of the Mishnah, right? And the Mishnah wants to Siyem B'Masha Patach, and it has this nice structure, Al Elu, he's Megalech, and Al Elu, now he has to do all these things. Okay, but they like to say, no, Al Elu must be coming to include something or to exclude something. Al Elu says, on these. On these means, and not on others. So Al Elu, Hanazir Megalech, Al Elu Duresha. So now they're going to talk about the Elu in the first part of the Mishnah. Al Elu Duresha Lemiute Etzem Kiseora. Talmago Valmaso In Val Ahilo Lo. So what are they saying? The first Al Elu comes to say, on these things the Nazir is Megaleach, whether it's Maga Masa or Ohel. As opposed to the Etzem Kiseora, that it's just Maga O Masa O. So it's trying to. It's almost like you would read in a book and you would say foreshadowing, okay? They're hinting, alluding to the fact that there's going to be an exception. So even though the exception appears explicitly in the Mishnah, they want to make an allusion to it in the beginning just so that you know something's coming up, okay? Val elu deseifa lemiute even hasruchit. Okay, this is a very weird term. Nobody's sure exactly what this means. Some people say it referenced this schachot, which is the first word in the next Mishnah, okay, which are these stones. If you have like these three stones coming out of your wall, okay, imagine like a stone protruding from the wall at a certain height, and underneath one of the stones was this etzem, and we're not sure, I think we're not sure either which one had the tumah under it or which one the nazir walked under, whether he walked under the one that had the tumah or not. Okay, that's one possibility. Some people say it's even hazchuchit with a zayin, not a samach. You could see a samach and zayin get a little switched, right? They're very similar. And that it means this, if you had a clear even. And then some people say, well, if it's clear, maybe it's not mitame. Why that would be is a whole question. It's not so clear. Okay, there's a lot of questions about this word, what exactly it is, but those are some possibilities. Okay. The chatzi kav atzamot. Okay, now we're moving on to the next term, which is this chatzi kav atzamot. So what are you assuming now? Chatzi, right? The obvious assumption is that if he has to be megaleach on a chatzi kavatzamot, right? Nobody will disagree with this assumption. Chatzi atzam kavatzamot in, rova atzamot lo, right? But if it was only a quarter kavatzamot, he wouldn't have to be megaleach. So now the Gemara says, hechidami, what would be the case of this? Ilema di'it bahon atzamot kiseora, tepuk lemishum etzam kiseora. If, right, if you're talking about a chatzi kavatzamot, so if, right, think about it, a chatzi kav is going to be bigger than a seora. So if it has a bone that's the size of a seora, so obviously it's megaleach on that. So what do you even need to tell us this for? Like, what could it possibly be talking about? So what do they say? Ela de'ikvach akmuche. It's talking about bones that were flour-like in substance. Okay, the bones fell apart or got crushed up or something, and they're so thin that you can't even call it etzem kaseorah, right? Etzem kaseorah is when you have a bone that's intact that's the size of a seorah. Here we're talking about that you don't have etzem kaseorah, but you have more than a seorah's worth, but they're not, the bone itself is not the size of a seorah because it's crushed up. And in that case, you would need a chatzi kav in order to be metame. Okay, next line in the Mishnah. Al ever min amet, val ever min achai, sheyesh alehem basar karaoi. Now, when we read the Mishnah, what did we explain? That this phrase, sheyesh alehem basar karaoi, refers both to the ever min amet and to the ever min achai. That it's saying any kind of limb you have from a person's body, as long as it has some meat on it, okay? Which sounds like, right, some flesh. Which sounds like, ein alehem basar karaoi mai. Right? It sounds like what? What would you assume? If it doesn't have basar karaoi, what would you say? He's not megaleach on it, right? So the Gemara says, ein alehem basar karaoi mai. So what if it doesn't have basar karaoi? We're going to see it wasn't so simple. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ein hadazir megaleach alehem, like we assumed, okay? Since it says in the Mishnah, as long as it has basar karaoi, which seems to imply if it doesn't have basar karaoi, he's not megaleach. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rish Lakish Amar, hanazir megaleach alehem. Rish Lakish says, even if it doesn't have basar karaoi, okay, and you have this limb from a dead body or from a live body, so what would you do? You would be megaleach also, even if it doesn't have. Why? Okay, so now we're going to see the reasons of both of them. Okay, what's Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, where do they get their opinion from? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he's going to be much simpler, right? Ein hazir megaleach alehem, dehakatani bereisha, al ever min amef, al ever min achai, okay, it doesn't give the rest of the words here, but it means, sheyesh alehem basar karaoi, okay? Meaning, sheyesh alehem kezayit basar in, aval ein alehem, lo, right? It's a very clear inference from the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish omer, okay, I charted this out, by the way, at the bottom. What's Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's
svara? Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is Rish Lakish. He's not the regular Rabbi Shimon. He's Rabbi Rish Lakish. Yeah, he is Rish Lakish. They call Rish Lakish is short for Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Okay, remember, he's not a Tana. He's an Emora, right? Even though his name is Rebbe, we always said Rebbe generally refers to the Tanaim, but that's because the Tanaim lived in Eretz Israel and they got smicha. And the Bavlim couldn't do smicha anymore because there was this, you know, psika that. It's part of that struggle between Eretz Yisrael and them losing their authority as everybody moved to Babel. They tried to take hold in certain issues, and one of them was smicha. And therefore, anyone mentioned in the Gemara who is Rebbe is either a Tana or he's an Amora. And Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, we know are Amora. Or he's an Amora from Eretz Yisrael. Sorry, I missed that important point. Or he's an Amora from Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, we know are Amora from Eretz Yisrael, from like the... I think they're already second generation, but first to second. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon and Lakish omer megaleach, why? Midalo katani basefa. This is a very interesting thing. What happened? We have our Mishnah, which tells you all the things that Nazir is megaleach. And then we have the next Mishnah, which tells you all the things that Nazir is not megaleach. Now, what about things that are missing on that list? So this is one of those things that's missing on that list. So when it came to the Rov HaKav and the Chatzi Kav, so in the first Mishnah it said the Chatzi Kav is Megaleach, and the second Mishnah it says the Rov HaKav is not, right, and Rov HaKav is not Megaleach. So it's very clear. It says this he is, that he's not. But when it comes to this issue, so while it says Eiver Min Ameh Ve'Eiver Min Achai Sheyesh Alehem Basar Karaoi, he's Megaleach, it doesn't say in the next Mishnah, Eiver Min Achai Ve'Eiver Min Ameh She'Ein Alehem Basar Karaoi, which it should have. So Rish Lakish says, well, since it doesn't say it in the next Mishnah, it must be that he is Megaleach on them. Okay, now, obviously, he's going to have to explain why it doesn't say it there, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain why it doesn't say it in the next Mishnah. So let's just read the Seifa. Since it doesn't quote it here, I brought it on the sheet, where you can look forward to Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Aval haschachot va'praot u'beit ha'pras ve'eret ha'amim va'golel va'dofek v'ri'it ha'dam ve'ol v'rov ha'atzamot v'kelim ha'nogim v'meit u'b'yimei sifro v'yimei gamro al elu enan nazir megaleach. So you notice that in this list is not the things that we were looking for, which is the Eber min ha'meit ve'eber min ha'chai she'en aleihem basar karo'oi. So comes Rish Lakish and he says, look, doesn't appear there? It must mean he is megaleach.
You could say that about other things on the list of things as well.
Right.
It doesn't mention, I don't know, Netzel and
you're saying on less than Kazayat Netzel, but less than Kazayat Netzel isn't even a shear. In other words, when you have the Robakav and Chatzikav, so Robakav has mashmaud in and of itself, mm-hmm. and Chatzikav has mashmaud, right? And therefore it compared the two.
Well, that's when it why comes to it, I would think, because there is a mashmaud.
So you're saying Eiver Min Amid and Eiver Min Achai, that doesn't have basar, is like nothing, basically. But it's still an Eiver Min Amid. In other words, it's still an Eiver, even if it doesn't have flesh on it. Now you could say, right, it's definite answer. You could say it's just not mashmauti, just like less than Kazayat Netzel is not mashmauti. It's definitely a good answer. It's not the one the Gemara brings, but it's a good answer. So now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha. So how's Rabbi Yochanan going to answer the fact that it's not mentioned in this Mishnah? So he has a klal here. He says, Kol hecha demashmi miklala lo katani b'seifa. If you can infer it very easily from the Reisha, then there's no need to mention it in the Seifa. Okay? It's a little bit along the lines of Aviva, what you wanted to say, but a different direction, right? You said maybe it doesn't need to be mentioned because it's not mashmauti at all. So he's saying anything, it doesn't need to be mentioned because anything that can be easily inferred from the Reisha doesn't need to appear in the Seifa. Now, obviously, I know where you guys are going to go with this, which is exactly where the Gemara is going to go. Well, then the Robakav is obviously easily inferred. If Chatzikav is Megalech, then anything less is not going to be Megalech. So that's exactly what they're going to ask for. V'ha chatzi kavatzamot. Timashma chatzi kavatzamot in, rova atzamot lo. V'katani b'seifa, rova atzamot. So according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, rova atzamot doesn't need to be mentioned either. So now what are they saying? No. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, in general, I think that if it can be easily inferred, it doesn't need to be mentioned. Unless, what? We need it for some, we need it to be mechadesh something. So he's going to say that the reason it appears in the Sefer, the Rova Atzamot, is to tell us something particular about it, which is what? Ilav Rova Atzamot. If it didn't appear in the second Mishnah, this Rova Atzamot, what would you have thought? Afilu al maga'o masa'o lo. Lahachi itzrich lemitne Rova Atzamot da'ahilan hu de'ein hanazir megalech. Okay, what is it coming to teach you? The Rova Atzamot is coming to teach you that he's not Megaleach on the... right, according to this, what he's saying is the Rova Atzamot that he's not Megaleach on them is only in an Ohel. But if you have Rova Atzamot Mago Masa, the Nazir wouldn't be Megaleach. And that's the Chiddush of it appearing in the second Mishnah, is to teach you that. That when it says, it's a weird inference, because it says, Rova Atzamot e Megalech, and what he wants to say is, it's not every case of Rova Atzamot, it's only Rova Atzamot in, it's only Rova Atzamot in the Ohel, that he's not Megalech. But Maga o Masa, he would be Megalech. Okay, that's his Chiddush.
Why did they put it at the end of the first Mishnah when they discussed
it? Right. It's a very good question. I don't 100% understand how they infer this. In other words, like how this works with everything we read until now, because it seemed to distinguish very clearly between it. I struggled a little bit with this and I didn't 100% figure it out. So they say that when we talked about... One second. Okay. Yeah, they say when it talked about the kemuche that they crumbled it up, that even then, hechidam yilem adipahon atzamokasora. Maybe I misunderstood that. One second. Let me go back there. Robert Samot Lo, Ile Matsamokasora, Tabum Shimatsamasora. Ah, so okay. I didn't explain it right. According to the way they read it here, when it's Ikma Chakmuche and it's all blended up, they want it to be Mechadesh there. It doesn't say this in the text, and that's why it's a little complicated. What they want to say there is that even if you have a rovakav crushed up, that it's metame also magam masa, and that there's a distinction here according to the conclusion of the way they understand it here. It's definitely possible there's different interpretations here, because I can see it's one of those issues that's just clearly not stated explicitly in the text. But if you don't say this, then you're struggling with what they're talking about here. It doesn't make any sense. So in order to make this makes, you know, to correspond, like have all the sugi work out, what they say is when they talk there, they had the whole question, hey chidame, is it, right? If it's atzamo kesora, then you shall learn from etzam kesora. So it's, in the end they say it's when they grind it up. And then they say that even a rova kav, even though this doesn't appear in our Mishnah, even a rova kav would be mitame b'maga umasa, if it's all crushed up and there's a rova kav of atzamot there, okay? Where it wouldn't be metame in an ohel. And that's what they're saying here, is the reason it appears in the next mission is to tell you a rova kav ein anazir megaleach aleihem, and that's specifically in an ohel. So again, this is all not clear from the pshat of the Mishnah and not so clear either from the pshat of the Gemara even, but that's how it seems to be explained.
Are they talking only about human?
Yes, we had the whole, there was a sugya earlier about, do we talk about nevela of a behema? And we said it's not, because it's, they learned it from the nefesh mate, right? The nefesh mate, lo yitame, so it's nefesh would include also behema, but mate comes to tell you specifically adam, and that it's only people and not behema. Okay.
Imagine
what?
How you would have a crushed human bone and like it.
Right, how it would be. Well, this at least says it's like flower-like material. Last time we saw a few days ago where they said they were tochein, like they actually ground it up. So first of all, there's actually some tshuvot about this relating to Holocaust ashes from the Holocaust, from bones, and they used it in soaps. And, you know, do you have to worry that maybe if you're a kohen and there's soaps, they made soaps out of people's ashes. And you know, or people's, but I don't know exactly what they use. I don't know ashes, but part of like the, I guess the bones or something from people's bodies. So, you know, and then they crush them up and they make them into soaps. So there's questions about the ashes and there's questions about the bones being crushed up to make these soaps. And there's a whole question about based on our sugya. So yeah, that's, if you want reality, that's, you know, that happens, unfortunately, in circumstances like that. Okay. Like in normal circumstances, I don't think you really have this, but that would be situation. Okay. So now we are up to. Okay, so our first question, Rabbi Yochanan, was how can you say things that are clear and obvious don't appear in the second Mishnah? This Rovakav is obvious. And they say, no, the Rovakav is not so obvious because the Rovakav has different situations. When it comes to Ohel, specifically, Rovakav is not matame, ena nazir megaleach alav. But when it comes to magam masa, it would be, and that's why it appears there to tell you there's some chiddush about it that's not so clear cut and obvious otherwise. So now they're going to ask another question about something that's obvious. Okay, so I can't remember if I read this all inside, so let's just read it again. But tana b'sefer rov atzamot, so hatan ilav rov atzamot. If it weren't for rov atzamot, have a minafilo maga o masa o lo. Lahachi, it's richlemin yerov atzamot to teach you that ahilan hu de'ena nazir magalech. Okay, next one. The same thing that goes with the chatzi kav and the rova kav is the chatzi log and the revi log. So that also appears. Vachatzi log dam, deshmat mina, chatzi log dam in, revi dam lo, right? It says chatzi log dam in our Mishnah, which would imply revi dam not. Vekatani b'sefer, revi dam. So what's the chiddush of that? Okay, and there seems to be no distinction between maga and masa and oam. So you can't say that. So what do they say? Here they're going to say, not that it brings an extra chiddush, but they had to bring it in the second Mishnah, hatam la'afukim to Rabbi Akiva, specifically to specify This was something that was shanoi b'machloket. There was a machloket about it, and therefore you needed to say it specifically so that you know that we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva. What's the machloket here? To Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Dam haba mishne mitim. Okay, now here there's a different nusach. It's not metame ba'ohel. Okay, it's where's the Sorry, let's look on the side there. There it just says, right, they take those words out, but it's Fir Habami Shnei Metim, Nazir Megaleach Alav. Okay? So there it says that according to Rabbi Akiva, if you have Revi Dam that comes from two people, right, the Nazir is Megaleach Alav. That's a Revi Dam. So our Mishnah comes to tell you, Revi Dam, you're not Megaleach, okay? To be Yotz, right, to Lehotzi from the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So hechidami. Oh, sorry. Hi, Aver min amet. So now they want to know about this Aver min amet that we're talking about. Okay, we're going back. That was all, right? Now we're back to this Aver min amet hechidami. Now we have a general question. We're going to end today with this question, and we'll go into the answer tomorrow. General question about Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's machloket. Okay. Hi, Aver min amet hechidami. What's the case of this Aver min amet that we're talking about? If this Eber Min Amet has Etzem Kisora, so why does Rabbi Yochanan say the Ana Nazir Megalech Alav, right? Remember, Etzem Kisora is enough for everybody to be Megalech. So what's the reason for Rabbi Yochanan? V'idelepe Etzem Kisora, and if it doesn't have Etzem Kisora, then my time to reach Lakish that says that he's Megalech Alehem. Right? How could you say that the Eber Min Amet that doesn't have an Etzem Kisora, why would you be Metame? Right? If it's so little, it doesn't even have Etzem Kisora, why would you say the Nazir is Megalech? So now we're going to have to figure out who does this hold like and based on what. Okay? In other words, how could you have a case of Eber Min Achai? It doesn't work according to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't work according to Rish Lakish. And that's what we're basically saying is we have a problem either with Rabbi Yochanan or with Rish Lakish and how to read this case Bechlal. Okay, either it's going to have Etzem Kisora and then it's going to be Metame anyway. Or, although the one issue they don't raise is that Etzem Kisora is not Metame Ba'ohel, and this would be Metame Ba'ohel. So, I have a bit of a question about that. But if it's, and if it doesn't have Etzem Kisora, how could Rish Lakish think that the Nazir is Megalech? It's so teeny that it doesn't even have significance if it's not the size of a barley. Now, how you would have an Eber Min Amet that would have Basar in it and wouldn't even be. So, Raya, you know, hard to imagine the reality of that case. But anyway, that's their question. Tomorrow we'll see the answer. Okay.